With Sally Deshmai, we're going to finish the first section today. He quotes a Midrash Tehillim. Amarav Nechunya Mashal Adam Shayalo Ben Vaya Oto HaBen Chaser Etzba Achad V'halach Lelmod Umanut V'hayta Sham Umanut Achad Shetzirich Kol Ha'Etzbaot Achar Yamim Ba Aviv Etzlo Matzo Shelo Lamad Oto Umanut Amar Lo Rabo Lo Limdato Umanut Zo. There was a father who sent his son to go and learn a particular profession, and this profession needed all 10 fingers, and this particular boy was missing a finger. So the father blamed the teacher and said, why didn't you teach him the profession? So the teacher said, this profession, he needs to have all his fingers, and your son's missing a finger, I can't teach him. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Malachim. Ein HaTorah mitkayemet bachem. Hashem said to the angels, I can't teach you the Torah. It's not fitting for you. You're missing. Lama she'ein b'neichem piriyah v'riviyah, because there is not amongst you having children. There's no misa. There's no tuma. There's no choli. Ela kulachem kadoshim. You're already all angels. It's not fitting. I can't give you the Torah, angels, because you're not fitting for the Torah. The Torah was designed for man. You need all the aspects of man in order to fulfill Torah. All the physical aspects of man are needed to fulfill Torah. The Torah was not designed for angels. I feel this is an important message. Just, this is not what he's saying, but I'm just adding. This is an important message when people sometimes, in yeshiva especially, they feel they have to work themselves hard. And they feel they have to push and push and push and push. And they set goals for themselves which are not realistic. And they get disappointed that they're not fulfilling the goals which they set for themselves, which weren't realistic to begin to. Here the Midrash is telling us that Hashem never designed the Torah for angels. He designed the Torah for humans. He designed the Torah for people who have limitations. And therefore you have to take limitations into account when you're planning. And if you get disappointed because you're not fulfilling whatever goal that you'd set for yourself, you have to ask yourself, did you take yourself into account when you made that goal? Or did you make an imaginary perfect self up, which doesn't really exist? And you read stories of Gedolim, and you said, well, if the Gedolim did it, so can I. Yeah, but even those Gedolim, they started step by step. They maybe themselves started with baby steps. And if there are stories of Gedolim who are so great that they were from a very, very young age able to achieve greatness, that's not relevant to you. Because that's not the strength that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. Rav David Feinstein, who just passed away last week. So when he gave a hesped about his father, Rav Moshe, he said privately to someone beforehand, when they asked him what he was going to say, he said, I'm not going to speak about how many times he finished Masechet Shabbos. I'm not going to speak about how many times he finished Shas. Because what's that going to help people? What's that going to help? They'll say, wow, he was so great, it's not relevant to me. I'm going to speak about all the chasadim he would do. And I'm going to add, and all the hasmada that he had, because that's relevant to anyone. Maybe the amount that you will finish in your hasmada, it's not relevant to compare yourself to Rav Moshe. Because within his hasmada, he was able to finish much more than you. And the amount of hours he could learn non-stop, that maybe you can't compare yourself. Because he had a hasmada that was tremendous. But the concept of pushing oneself in hasmada, that you can learn from. And you take it to wherever you can take it to. And this, I feel, is a tremendous lesson about how to read Gedolim stories. Now, if we're going to have the title of a lecture, how to read Gedolim stories. The wrong way to read Gedolim stories is to say, wow, I want to be just like that. Because then you're setting yourself up for failure. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them certain talents and skills, which he didn't give most of us. And then by reading them, we feel like a failure because we can't keep up to it. What's the right way to read Gedolim stories? The right way. You look for the value that they had. So if the value was hasmada, then you don't look at the way they fulfilled hasmada, because that might not be relevant to you. Right? If their hasmada was learning 8 hours non-stop, that's how they do it. They would come, they would eat lunch, davar mincha, and they would learn 8 hours non-stop until they would do maariv, without a single break. That's their hasmada. So you can't learn necessarily for you to do that non-stop. Maybe you could, but the schedule of Kerem Yavin doesn't really allow it. So you can't do it. You can't do 8 hours non-stop. You can't, not. But you can learn to put in hasmada. So therefore, you take the value that you learned from the Gadol and you translate it and you say, that value, what's my next step in that value? I want to be inspired by this Gadol. I want to be inspired by his hasmada. So my next step is the 2 hours that I learn in Bekir Seder, I'm going to do without talking. That's my next step. And then you can be inspired. That's how you read Gedolim stories. You read the story, you see what they did, you identify what the value was, you then look at yourself in respect to that value, where am I holding in that value? Then you say, what's my next step that I could take in that value? And you take the inspiration from those gedolim to take your next step. And your next step, they said, now maybe you would never ever reach their level. But you'll take many, many, many steps by being inspired by gedolim throughout generations. So that was in brackets. What the Alisha was bringing it for was to show us the purpose of the giving of the Torah was to be involved with that body. Because Malachim, they couldn't receive the Torah because they don't have a body. They don't have the ability to have children, they don't have death, they don't have sickness, all things that should do with physical body. The purpose in Hashem giving us the Torah was to give it to a being who has a body, who's involved in the physical world. The Torah is mitkayem dafka baguf. All our avoda is to be involved in this physical world using our physical body and using that in service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the chiddush that Hashem made with humans. With animals, He gave them a body and they're not serving Hashem with consciousness. With angels, they're serving Hashem, but they're not bringing it down to this world. Our unique mission is to take Torah and make it relevant to this world. We're not supposed to be disconnecting from the world. We're supposed to be using Torah in this world. That's our whole goal. And we do that through fulfilling mitzvahs. When Adam and Chava removed themselves from the clothing of their mitzvahs that was given to them, v'yadu'u ki eromim heim, they realized they were without the mitzvahs anymore. Yisrael kadoshim heim, v'nimna'im mikol ma shemivi lidei hit'orut shel hargashat haguf. And therefore we have to be very careful to not allow our body to be exposed. Because we recognize that our body isn't an end goal in and of itself. We're not using our body to show off as if it's our goal. Our body is not our temple. God is our temple. And we use our body in service of Hashem in the temple. But it's not the body is the end goal. And therefore, there's a concept of tznius, where we don't reveal the body. Because revealing the body would show off the body as if the body is the end goal, what you're trying to achieve. Our whole goal of tznius is to show that no, our body is concealed because we're not using it for ourselves. We're using it in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Levishat begadim, tsarim me'od, is also like not wearing clothing. If you wear very tight clothing or any clothing which accentuates the body, it's also like not wearing clothing. It's like showing the body is my end goal. Our goal in wearing clothing is to dress respectfully, but not in a way that shows off the body. Because our goal is to show that our body is just a means to an end in serving Hashem. We have to be clean in our body. We have to take health and care of our body because we recognize that it's a tool in serving Hashem. It's a lachatchila that you would look after your health because it's not yours. It's a tool that you need to use in service of Hashem. Mashal lema hadavar domeh. If someone says to you, I'd like you to carefully clean diamonds. And I'm giving you a very, very expensive fine tool that you're going to use to clean diamonds. So you won't start etching your name on that tool, right? Or playing catch with your friends with that tool. Because you recognize this tool was given to you to use with a very precious commodity, with diamonds. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you your body, it's not yours. It's on loan to you for you to use in His service of polishing diamonds. And therefore you have to ensure that you take very good health. So taking care of health is a hechsher mitzvah. It's enabling you to fulfill the will of Hashem, but not an end goal of making the body as an end result. The greater a person becomes in Torah, the more he has a sense that he can't stand being without mitzvahs and the body has to be involved in doing mitzvahs. And that's the Gemara in Menachos where it says that David HaMelech once went to the mikveh. And when he was standing about to go into the mikveh, he suddenly said, I'm without mitzvahs. I don't have my tzitzis on. There's no mezuzah at the door. I'm not wearing my tefillin. He felt he was without mitzvahs, and he felt that he wasn't fulfilling his mission. His body wasn't being used to dedicate himself to Avodas Hashem. And then he recognized that he still had his bris milah that he has at all times, and then he was relieved that his body is in a constant state of being transformed into a being for the sake of a mitzvah by having a bris between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he composed the Tehillim, Lam Natzeach Al HaShminit. What does it mean, Al HaShminit? So it could be the name of a musical instrument. The Chazal and the Gemara and Menachos, the Mem Gimel, they darshan that it's Lam Natzeach Al HaBris Milah, which is done on the eighth day. That this is the Tehillim that he said when he was aware that his body is constantly being used in a state of Avodas Hashem. That's the preciousness of the Jewish nation, that our body is always involved in mitzvahs. And that was the feeling that David HaMelech had for a moment. I'm without mitzvahs. I'm not using my body in service of Hashem. That's the whole goal of my body. And then he recognized, oh, Baruch Hashem, I have a mitzvah. He was able to be rest assured. Britcha shechatamta bevesareinu. It's invested in our very body. That our body is not an end goal where we have desires and then we make ourselves subjugated to fulfilling those desires. There's a concept in the Western world where if I have desires, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll buy things, I'll travel places, whatever it takes I will do because I'm a slave to my desires and I will give into those desires and I will pay money or whatever it takes, I'll even, whatever it is, I will do because I'm in control, my body is in control of me. My desires are in control of me. And Judaism says the exact opposite. I'm in control of my desires. I'm in control of my body. And I'm taking my body and I'm using it in service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it does not control me. And therefore, for our avoda, on a practical level, is that we have the obligation not to ignore our body, to take care of it, but at the same time, not to arouse it, not to allow the desires to develop, but to put them in their place. And if a person has a sense of desire, just like the story that we told yesterday of the Nazir, you immediately put it in its place. You say, that's external to me, I'm involved myself in Avodas Hashem. And if you distract yourself from allowing those desires to develop, and distraction is usually the best method, that when a desire comes one's way, instead of getting it, why did I have it, and where did it come from, and then a person gets more subjugated to it because he's involving himself in it, just say, that's inappropriate, I'm not allowing that to develop, and immediately get involved actively in doing a mitzvah. By learning Torah, by phoning a parent, by talking with a friend in a way that cheers the friend up, actively get involved in doing something positive, and that way you're using your body in the sense of Avodas Hashem, and not allowing it to be overtaken by the desire. Chasdei Hashem Yisbarach, Hadron Alach Per Shah Rishon. We're moving on to Shah Sheni, which is a whole nother level. So we're in the introduction. And I'll tell you, this introduction here is something that I didn't think I did this year, but on many years, when I first meet the guys on the opening Shabbos, and we have a kind of an introductory talk to what yeshiva is about, I often quote this piece over here we're going to learn now. There comes a day, right? Break state, reform, new concept. If you're writing, turn the page over, a new idea. There comes a day, as a person is more involved in yeshiva, and he's already been learning Torah for a while, and sometimes it doesn't have to be once you've got to yeshiva, it could be it was in high school already, when you got involved in learning Torah, it could be a different stage. Suddenly there becomes, when I say suddenly, over a period of time is more of an appropriate way of saying it, but suddenly one notices that they have this longing to grow beyond what's given to them, that they have to do. They no longer have this sense of, okay, what I need to do, I'll do it. They have this sense of, I want to do more. I want to raise up, I want to elevate, I want to grow. They have this sense of, I want to work on myself and be greater than I currently am. I don't want to be average, mediocre. I want to be someone very great in Avodas Hashem. That comes a time when a person recognizes that desire, that call within them. It's a calling. It's a calling that one has. When one is very young, there's more of a sense of what needs to be done. There comes a maturity stage where if someone is involved in Avodas Hashem and they're genuine about it, it could be age 13, 14, 15. Sometimes it's age 18, 19. Sometimes it never comes for some people. But there comes a stage, Be'ez Hashem, for everyone here, where you have this sense of, I want to do more. I imagine everyone here has it because they're coming to listen to a Musa Seder. Right? I imagine it's already like built into anyone who's in this room right now. There's desire to be more, to be greater, to rise, to grow. How great is this day? This is the day the Chazal referred to as Yom Omdo Al Da'ato. The day that a person recognizes his own das. He's able to be aware of his own thoughts and his own growth mentality. This is the day that a person begins determining his spiritual future. Which direction he's heading. How he's going to take himself. He doesn't yet know all the answers, for sure. Right? There's a lot of searching that goes in. Speaking to Rebbeim, reading Sfarim, talking with friends, understanding, trying different things. But this is the day where a person recognizes he's going to be great. It's just the path. The Gemara says in Chulin about Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, Miyamav lo bitzal prusa she'eno shalo. That he had a personal chumrah, that he never took gifts. He never ate bread that wasn't his. And from the day where he was omed al da'ato, that's where this phrase comes from, chulin daf zayin, when the day he became aware of his own thoughts, and he recognized that he wanted to grow, he wouldn't even take from his own father a gift. He wanted to be independent and grow himself. This concept of Yom Omdo Al Da'ato is a day when a person awakens that he wants to put his own boundaries around himself, set his own targets for himself, have his own avodas Hashem, which is uniquely his. And that day, a major question comes to him. What's my path? How do I do it? What's my unique path in avodas Hashem that I have to discover? There's the general path that's true for everyone, but I want to know, what do I do in order for me to grow in avodas Hashem? The Gemara Chagiga Daf Tet quotes the son of Barhehe, who said to Hillel, "My dichtiv v'shavtem v'ra'item bein tzadik l'rasha bein oved elokim l'asher lo avdo." Right, so the Gemara there says there's a tzadik and then a rasha, and within tzadik we can divide it up to a tzadik who serves Hashem and a tzadik who doesn't serve Hashem. What does it mean, a tzadik who doesn't serve Hashem? It says, so Hillel said to the son of Ben Hehe, "Einu dome shone pirko mea pamim l'shone pirko mea mevachadamim." A very cryptic answer. Someone who serves Hashem learns 101 times. Someone who doesn't serve Hashem learns 100 times. Amar le mishum chad zimna kari lo avdo. You're calling someone who missed out one time. He learned 100 times. And he learned 100 times, but he didn't do 101. And you're calling him not to be an Eved Hashem? Amar lo, yes. Go look at the marketplace of, I'll translate it into my own language. Go look if you want to go and buy a ticket, a bus ticket, let's say, right? You want to buy a train ticket. So let's say a train ticket costs 26 shekel. So if you have 26 shekel, you can buy one ticket. And if you have 26 shekel, another 25 shekel, you can still only buy one ticket. Because you don't have another 26. So you can't buy another one. Meaning sometimes one more shekel makes a difference between a whole new world. That was the mashal that he gave. Sometimes, yes, a very small amount extra is the difference between yes or no, or never mind the second ticket, what are the first ticket? You come to buy one ticket, right? And you say, can I get on the bus? And you have 24 shekels and 90 agorot. Sorry, you can't buy it. Especially if it's a machine. If it's an individual, maybe he'd have mercy on you, you know? But if it's a machine, you know, you put 24 and 90 agorot, the machine's waiting. 10 agorot, you're shouting the machine. 10 agorot, you're going to make a fuss. The machine's just quiet, not answering you back. 10 agorot, have mercy. The machine's just quiet, not answering back. Sometimes it's a tiny difference, but it makes all the difference. Avodas Hashem, there's many ways to take this Gemara, but I'm taking it the way the Ali Shur takes it. Avodas Hashem is not about more quantity, it's about more quality. Because the Gemara doesn't give an example of learning 100 pages or learning 101 pages. It learns it teaches an example of Chazorah. The same page that you review 100 pages or you review 101 pages. That's not more quantity. That's more quality. If it wanted to teach more quantity, it would say that a person who learned one Masechta and learns two Masechtas. But it didn't. It spoke about Chazorah. And this is a huge topic. Because growing in Avodas Hashem is not defined by someone who takes on more things and does extra things and takes on this and that and this and that and this and learns this and that and this and that. But it's all superficial. Avodat Hashem comes when a person is deeper. In what he's already doing, he's deeper. Hu shoef liyidiya yoter brura umosif biichut yidiyat haTorah. You could have two people learning the same information. One will be an Avodat Hashem, one won't be. Because the one who learned it in a superficial manner, it didn't touch him deeply. And the one who learned it in a deep manner, where he contemplated it and he understood it, he said, what does that mean to me? And then if you've had this experience before, but in davening, you may be aware of what I'm saying. There are certain times when you daven, when you care about the topic, but not so deeply. So when you daven, you say the words. And you even think to yourself, this is very important, I'm going to try and have kavana. And you say, I'm trying to have kavana. And you try and have kavana, and you say the words. And it was a good davening. You didn't think about anything else. You were focused on what you needed to think about. You weren't distracted. And you thought the whole time that you need to have kavana. And you did the best you could. And you thought of the translations of the words, and it went well. That's one level. There's another time where you don't need to convince yourself to have kavana. This topic is really important to you. This topic is so important to you that you don't even need to remind yourself, I need to remember to have kavana here on this davening. You care about it. And you just talk to Hashem. And when you're in the middle of talking to Hashem, there's no thoughts of, try not to be distracted and wait one second, what does this word mean? Don't look around. You're not thinking of anything else. You're talking to Hashem. And you can clearly see the difference between those two levels. The first level, you were doing everything you could do where you're not in it, where it's superficial. You're doing the best davening you can do on a superficial level. You're not being distracted. You understood all the meaning of the words. You made sure that you're going to try and have kavana, and you did okay. You did the best you can do. But in the second round, you're on a deep level that you cannot compare. You cannot compare it to the first one. Karov Hashem, l'chol korav, ashei kuroto be'emet. Be'emet does not mean that you try really hard to convince yourself not to be distracted. And not bad, right? No, it's like where you're calling out to Hashem. This topic matters to you and you care and you call out to Him. So being an Eved Hashem is the difference between learning a certain amount of times and then getting to a point where it hits home, where you really care, where it's now meaningful to you and it's now part of your world. And someone who says, after years of learning, how do you feel close to Hashem and how do you... So you know that for years they've been learning on a superficial level. You know for years that davening has been on a superficial level. Because if it would be that they would bring it to heart and they would genuinely care about it, then all that learning would have built deeper and deeper, more meaningful relationship with Hashem every time they would learn, every time they would daven. But if their learning and their davening is done with good intent and goodwill, but it remains external, it remains superficial, they don't bring it home and ask, what does that mean to me and how does that change my life, to a point where it becomes relevant to them, then they'll, years they'll do the right thing, but they won't feel connected. And they'll still be looking to how to feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after all those years. So that's an opening. I'll just tell you that what we're going to do now is this chapter, I mean this section, which is going to take us a couple of months, is going to be about laying the foundation for one's personal Avodas Hashem. What we're going to be describing is going to be the prerequisites that applies to everybody, that everyone needs to lay down, it's equal to all, in order to set the tone for a deeper relationship. That's what this section is going to be. He's going to go through what Musar is and how to learn Musar, what Emunah is and how to develop Emunah, why we learn on a deeper level, how to develop Ratzon, how to develop a real will. These are very important topics, but they're going to be general. They're going to be broad because they're relevant to everybody. That's what this section's goal is. The next section, which probably will only be Kaitz Man, or maybe the end of this month, maybe Adar already, that's going to be where it gets personal. That's going to be where he's going to give us guidance, guidelines, on how every person can then, after you've got that solid foundation, recognize who they uniquely are and what their unique mission is, how to identify one's own middos, unique middos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you, and then your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a different level entirely. Because then it moves away from being superficial of you're just doing the same what everyone's doing without thinking about it according to who you are. So we're laying down the foundation and then piercing to our own character and a unique character in order to have this deep, meaningful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.